North Rock Podcast.
Well, good morning. Good morning, North Rock. Man, I love the energy you guys are bringing. You know, I never quite know exactly where that celebration of our baptism should be. I think it should be at the beginning and the end, somewhere in the middle, and at the end of the service, right? Isn't that amazing that God is speaking to people, He's transforming lives, that they're giving their lives to Him, they're being baptized? 18 people last weekend gave their lives to Jesus and were baptized. Can we just celebrate what God's doing in our midst? Yeah. Well, that's good because it really is the best illustration I could think of for what we're talking about today. And we're in a series called Jesus Is, right? We all know we should be talking about Jesus in church. That's kind of the thing, right? But we think that sometimes it's worth just really just reinforcing kind of what we around here believe is the core foundation, the core of what Jesus did and what He is and what He's wanted to do throughout history, right? We talked about Jesus as Savior a couple weeks ago. We talked about Jesus as our healer last week. And this week we're talking about Jesus as a baptizer in the Holy Spirit, the one who gives us power for the journey that He has us on, okay? And so really the whole idea behind this is that He would bring light to our lives, that He would bring the power to our lives, just the same way the sound team's getting ready to bring up some lights for me and that power, right? Hey, there you are. That's good. That's good. They're working with me. That's my call. I'm having them work on it. I just didn't follow my own cue today. So I need them to help me so I could see you guys. Well, that is what we're talking about. And I know that as we begin to talk about that, that in this room, there are some people that have had experiences with churches that talked about the Holy Spirit that got a little zany, weird, maybe wacky a little bit. And so I just want to assure you that we are a church that thinks that it should be naturally supernatural to walk around and talk about Jesus and have Him empower our lives. You guys agree with that? But that's really one of the calling cards that I want our congregation to be about. But I also want to guard against some of the fanaticism, some of the emotional extremism that can go with working through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? How many of you guys, like me, have ever been in a situation where you just felt like you were lacking power? Sometimes it's as simple as an iPhone, right? Man, I tell you, my last iPhone, like 3 months before the contract was up, I couldn't keep power in that thing. And it just kept going down. So I was walking around with basically my battery change plugging in wherever I'd go. I'd go get coffee, I'd plug it in, get in my car, I'd plug it in, go to work, plug it in, right? You guys ever experienced that? Not that Apple's, you know, a bad thing. I got a new one. It's working much better. But in a lot of ways, I think that's a good metaphor for how we experience Jesus, right? We all know that He's got more than enough power for what we need to get by in this life, right? That He's given us His power to live out this Christian faith, that we don't have to do it in our own strength, and that any time that we feel like, oh man, Lord, I am just, that we can call out, that He can fill us anew, that He can fill us afresh, He can fill us to overflowing, right? How many of you guys agree with me today that God is not limited or restrained in the power that He brings to the table? He is not. He's the one that spoke those mountains into existence. He's the one that spoke breath into our lives. And yet, when it gets to this topic of Holy Spirit, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we get all caught up on the packaging. We get all caught up on the experiences we've had. It gets a little weird, and you know, people start looking at each other, and kind of the hair on their neck kind of stands up, and they kind of go, oh, they're those kind of Christians. Right? Yeah, I know what you're... Hey, listen, I've been in church a long time. I know what you're thinking. It's like, oh man, where's he going with this thing, right? Well, we'll find out in a few minutes. But again, the Bible instructs us in Psalm 121. Says, ask the question, where does my help come from? It says that my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That He will not stumble. He's the one who watches over us. And He will not slumber, right? So the kind of power that Jesus allows for us to have in our spiritual walk is not like the day-to-day power that we need to just kind of go to work and do some of those things. We understand that, don't we? How many of you guys have ever been in a situation where you've had a power outage before? Kind of scary, right? That it should cause us to panic a little bit. You know, a couple of years ago, the hotel I was in was hit by a tornado. Just took the whole thing out. It was crazy. It was wild. There's no power in the place. And when somebody loses power, they like freak out. I mean, it felt like some major natural disaster or catastrophe had occurred. And in a sense, it had, but really there was no loss of life or anything like that. But people were just in like total panic mode, you know, like, we have no power. What do we do? Right? Well, I kind of think that sometimes our Western church, the American church, that sometimes we get disappointed in kind of something we thought might have been associated with following Jesus. That at times we can tend to choose to live what I call kind of a low voltage or a low watt life. Just kind of being okay with things the way that they are, right? Anybody else with me had something that disappointed you in this walk with Jesus before? Or something that just didn't make sense, or someone that you prayed for that didn't come to Christ, or someone, or this struggle or that struggle, right? That's day to day. That's the way it goes, right? But the beauty of it is that we can call out to the God who is not restrained in power in the middle of those things, right? And so we can go from a low watt Christian walk to a high watt. Yeah, you guys got it. Come on, baby. Yeah, give it up for the sound booth today. Lighting. John Romero on the lighting board. Woo! Yeah. So I want to just encourage you today. I want to encourage you with a couple of things. One, that we serve a God who's not restrained. We serve a God who does not lack the power that we need for this journey that we're on. But we have to understand not necessarily how to explain where it comes from, how it works, what we do with it, but we do need to know how to access it, right? We need to know when and how and where and what does the Bible teach about all that stuff, right? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I find when we get into church situations, we start talking about the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of confusion on the subject. One, because it doesn't get talked about very much because people think it's weird, right? I mean, let's just be honest. Father God, pretty easy to talk about, right? Jesus the Savior, pretty easy to talk about. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, everybody's like, eh, no thanks. You know, like it's the relish on your hot dog, right? No, I'll take two, but not the third one. Thank you very much. And because of that, we can tend to settle for low watt lives. How many of you guys like me want to live a high wattage Christian walk? To be empowered to overflowing in a way that makes a difference in the lives of the people that we love and that we work with and that we see on a day-to-day basis, right? So here's the promise. And again, my hope is that as we look at the scriptures today, that we'll reflect on, okay, Lord, where am I at? Today, let's try to raise our awareness of what level of power do we feel like we're walking around with today, okay? So let's pray and we're going to get into the scriptures. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you are not a God who came, died on a cross, and then went away and just said good luck. But no, God, you are the God who was resurrected from the dead. Lord, you are the one who walks with us day in and day out, that sticks closer than a brother. And so Lord, I just pray that you would attune our hearts to your voice today. Lord, that you would encourage us, that you would build us up, and you would cause us to live power-filled, overflowing lives. Because Jesus, you are the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So if you have your Bibles with you today, we're going to start with a passage from Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And it's one that causes me to kind of, you know, put my big boy pants on. I don't know if you notice I'm wearing the big boy pants today. Those are big boy, right? Because there are times when I read the scriptures and, you know, you're not really sure what to do with things. And so for me, what I consider discipleship is that we're trusting the Holy Spirit's power as we pour our lives into what the scriptures teach us, that he's continually transforming our lives. You guys experienced that in Jesus, right? That's his promise. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. But I've got to be man, woman, child enough to go to the scriptures, see what they say, and then kind of do that mirror reflection thing. Okay, God, this is what it says. This is kind of where I'm at. You know, where do we need to be on the same page here, right? So Romans chapter 8, verse 11 is a powerful scripture. And it simply says this, that the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give to your mortal bodies or give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. I'm just going to let that sit for a minute. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. You. And you and you and you and you and me. That's the same God who raised Jesus from the dead. Now let me ask you, is that you know, megawatt power, or is that, you know, eh? That's megawatt, right? I mean, the reality is what this scripture tells us, it teaches us, is that we're supposed to be like some sort of like spiritual Avengers, man. Like, you know, kind of walking around and having, you know, firebolts and stuff come out of our hands. And I'm sorry, I'm terrible. I don't know all the Avengers, and I know I'm going to get in trouble from Jonathan for that. But I'm telling you, there are times in this walk that I just wanted to feel that way. Like, you know, I got this cool cape and, you know, like this God, you just rip off your shirt and take off, right? And yet, that's not really how God chooses to pour out His Spirit. That God pours out His Spirit as the all-powerful, all-knowing, always present God in ways that I can only access when I get my mind, my heart, my life walking in sync with the way He's leading my life. Does that make sense to you guys? So the point that I'm making with this part is, hey, let's not just be okay with just enough Holy Spirit power. Oh, I was a little bit encouraged today. Moving on, right? Let's contend for His very best, the fullness of all that God would have in us. Can we do that? Because the Bible tells us that if we'll come thirsty, He'll fill us to overflowing. But there is that partnership. I've got to come thirsty. Right? I've got to determine with God and say, God, I need more of You. And I'm not ashamed of it. I know I need more of You. And I want to see You pour Yourself out powerfully in my life. I want people, when they interact with our people here at North Rock, go, man, those guys are some sort of supernatural kind of Avenger people, man. Now, please don't start wearing capes around here or the funny pants, right? Those kind of, now, let's not do that. But I do hope that it becomes more and more and more naturally supernatural in our interactions, meaning we're so used to God moving and flowing in and through us that we have faith to pray for people to be sick, to be healed, people to be filled with the Spirit, people to be give their lives to Jesus, right? That should be normative of our church, and we're seeing more and more and more of that, and we're thankful for that. But today I want to talk about just a few quick things that will help us tap into the megawatt power that Jesus has for us so that we don't yield to the temptation of living smaller lives than what He gave His very life for, and that He's given His very Spirit for us to live out and through, okay? So I'm currently reading a book called A Glorious Dark. It's called The Glorious Dark, Finding Hope in the Tension Between Belief and Experience, because just as I confessed to you and just as you kind of responded to me, there are some things that we read in the Scriptures that we may not quite experience in the way that we think that it should immediately sometimes, right? You guys all understand that Jesus came, did what He did, gave us His Holy Spirit as a seal and as empowerment for the walk ahead, but it's not done yet. He's still returning. He's going to be our returning King, and that's when all things become new, right? You guys have read that part of your Bible. We'll talk about that more in the future. But sometimes, just like one of my professors, A.J. Svoboda, it's true that we don't experience what we believe for when we pray something or we see something in the Scriptures. And so we need God's mind, we need His heart, and we need His power to kind of continue to work through some of that low-level, almost like a depression that comes on us spiritually. You guys know that we can pick up things in this world. Sometimes it's like a spiritual apathy. Sometimes it's like a spiritual, fever, or, you know, just a sadness, you know, depression type of emotional, spiritual stuff, right? And Jesus, His promise to us is that we'll walk through this world in power, okay? So, how many of you guys know God's power is big, right? That's been established. How many of you guys know God's power is available? His power it is, but we got to be the ones that learn how to plug in. So how do we plug into this? Number one, I think is that we need to understand that receiving the Holy Spirit is a promise, right? It's not just a promise for people in ministry. It's not just a promise for Pastor Chad. It's a promise for everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verses 5 and 8, it says, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Turn to somebody and say, "Receive power." That you shall receive power. Ooh, yeah, that's right. You guys can just preach along with me. I like it. "When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will be witnesses of me." See, again, there's that function that He gives us power, but it's not just so Pastor Chad can go around going, psh, psh, psh. No, it's for a purpose of seeing our lives poured out into one another's to see the Holy Spirit transform and do the things that he does, right? So it says it's for us to be witnesses. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, we represent the ends of the earth. And how many of you guys are thankful that that first century church said, we're taking this serious, we're going to go live this thing out, we're going to make sure, you know, that guy over at North Rock actually, you know, gets to experience this thing, right? It's good stuff. So it's a promise. It's also providential, meaning that there's a purpose in it and that it's overseen by a prudent manager of the power that God wields, right? According to dictionary.com, the word providential, a good way to understand it is it's the foreseeing care and guidance of God over nature or the creatures of the earth. It's God, especially when conceived, as omnisciently directing the universe and the affairs of humankind and with wise benevolence. It's a manifestation of divine care and direction. It's a prudent management of resources or provident care, right? In other words, he's paying attention to it. He's making sure that coming out of the megawatts, you know, they're transferred into our lives and in the distribution points that it needs to come out, okay? So to me, that helps me lean into the Holy Spirit's work in my life because I realize I don't have to have it all figured out, right? We talked about electricity today. How many of you guys can explain to me how it goes from water electricity or wind power, you know, and then it comes down and I flip the switch and lights come on, right? I can't explain all that, but do I experience it every day? Absolutely I do. And so much so that I expect that when I flip the switch, the lights go up, right? It's the same, but again, when we start talking about spiritual stuff, we feel like we have to explain everything and how it works. I tell you what, I find so much encouragement this morning, remembering that I don't have to explain it all. I just need to access it in the way that God designed it to work in my life, right? He can be God and I can be me, and it's a good partnership that way, right? So again, the Holy Spirit's a promise, but it's poured out providentially. In other words, he's managing, stewarding these resources through his people to do his purposes in this world. And one of those is to be, you know, disciples and to bear witness, right? So the third one is that it helps me to remember that the Holy Spirit's a person, right? I mean, you guys know relationships are important. They are. I mean, that's really the fabric of life. And I've run into far too many people, myself included, at seasons of my life, where the Holy Spirit's just this kind of thing, right? It just kind of flows through around. Nobody really knows how to explain it. Nobody knows how to access it. Nobody knows, you know, what you're supposed to do with it. But the Bible teaches us the Holy Spirit's a person. And it says knowable as any other person or relationship that we have. In fact, the Bible tells us in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, says that I will ask the Father and he will give you an advocate. Isn't that a good promise? So someone who walks with you, an advocate on your behalf, who will never leave you, he is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. So again, we're seeing, what does the Holy Spirit do? It leads us into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives within you and will later be in you. Isn't that a good promise? That's this time that he lives in us. The very same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. Come on, somebody's ready to go buy a cape, I think. Right? We ought to. We ought to live bold lives on behalf of the Lord. And one of my favorite communicators in the world right now, a great author, his name is Francis Chan, wrote a book not too long ago called The Forgotten God, where he addresses this very topic, that the Holy Spirit is the least preached on stuff in churches. And it's probably because, you know, people look at pastors when they try to talk about it, kind of the way Sean's looking at me right now, right? But Francis says, here's a couple of things to think about when you think about the Holy Spirit. First, the Holy Spirit's a person. Okay, man, I love when Francis Chan reinforces what I'm saying up here. Thank you, Francis, right? That gives a pastor some credibility. Hey, I preached what Francis did, right? But it was my message, and he just kind of reinforced it, okay? Moving on, all right. So second, the Holy Spirit is God. He's no lesser than the Father or the Son. That's who the Holy Spirit is, and that's how we should approach him. Third, the Holy Spirit's eternal and holy. Fourth, the Holy Spirit has his own mind, and he prays for us. Isn't that good news this morning? That there are times in my life that I am totally overwhelmed. In fact, that's usually Monday, Tuesday, Thursdays, Saturdays, and certainly Sundays, okay? And it's so encouraging to know that because the Holy Spirit lives in me, He prays and intercedes on my behalf. That He knows the perfect prayer when I don't. Can I just be honest? Pastoring is a tough gig. Because most of the time you're dealing with very difficult circumstances, difficult challenges, things that, the average person just don't know what to do with. And so it's important that I remember that He's available, He's active, He's over it all, and that He's in it all. And so, again, it helps me to be reminded that the Holy Spirit prays for me, prays for us, He prays for His purposes in this world. Fifth thing is that the Holy Spirit has emotions and can be grieved, okay? So again, He's a person, right? It's an active relationship. It's either getting stronger or we're letting it drift. Anybody ever dealt with drift in any other relationships in your life? Same thing can happen with the Lord. Doesn't mean He went away, but it just means that I've drifted somewhere off of what He's doing in my life. Am I preaching to myself today, or anybody else ever experienced that before, yeah? Yeah, absolutely, right here. Come on up. Thank you very much. Sorry, guys, I guess I'm running a little bit late. Lunch got delivered earlier than I expected. Now, before any of you believe that, we're totally on time. Okay, we're ripping through this thing. We are not late. And let's give it up for Papa John's for bringing the pastor some pizza today. Thank you very much. Yeah. Hey, after the service, you can see this guy for the tip, okay? They got him tipped, I promise you. As if somebody says, you got to tip the guy. I said, well, I know, it's taken care of. We're not going to jip him. we're in Francis's list, right? Man, can you guys smell that pizza? I love that aroma of pizza. Yeah, solamente uno. Sorry, guys. So Francis reminds us that the Spirit has emotions and it can be grieved. And that's why Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, let's not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that we live. Now, guys, I know we automatically go to the deep, dark, stuff when we read something like that. It feels convicting, right? Can I tell you that that's part of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? That when we read the Word, when the Holy Spirit lives in us, then when we do things that we just know aren't the way God's created us and designed us to live, there's that little eh, just that little twinge. Ooh, got my attention. Can I just tell you, I'm thankful for that as a pastor, as a follower of Christ, because I used to live life without that. And I'm telling you, I made some pretty destructive decisions that brought a lot of harm and a lot of pain to a lot of people's lives. And so for me, it's important that I remember that the Spirit has emotions and can be grieved, and that when I feel that ant. You know the ant? Somebody knows the ant in here, right? That's just him getting my attention, saying, whoa, hey, that's flesh, that's you. It's not where we're going, that's not what we're doing. And it allows me to, again, bring myself off of the throne and say, okay, Lord, I serve you. I serve you. This is your life, right? You gave yours for me, I gave mine for you, okay? And how many of you guys know that's a good trade? I mean, that's like taking a clunker in and, somebody letting you drive out with a Rolls Royce, right? It's good stuff. I don't even know. I've never driven a Rolls Royce. Maybe a Corvette. I like Corvettes better. Okay. So again, it says, don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember that He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Again, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. So sometimes He can be moving powerful in my life, and because I'm in church so much, because I study the Word so much, that we can just kind of, at times we can just desensitize ourselves to the power of what God's doing in our lives. And we can diminish it, and we can suppress it, or we can just not give it the value of what God wants to do in us, right? How many of you guys today would say, God is moving powerfully in your lives? I see it. I see it. I see the way He's changing lives. I see the way He's growing you. I see the way that He's moving. I see the way people are getting healed. I see the way people are getting baptized. 18 people last week, church. That's not supposed to happen. Every quarter. So if you missed last weekend, we'll be coming back at you here in July, okay? So again, He's doing His work. He's always doing His work, and we can rest in that. How many of you guys can smell this pizza yet? Oh, yeah. Danny, I got one for you, man, all right? So sixth, the Holy Spirit has its own desires and will. Again, that's that issue of who's Lord in this situation, Him or me, right? There are times when I want to go do stuff, and God says, no, I want you to do this. And usually it's uncomfortable. And usually it's something I don't want to do. But when I do it, I see his power released. I see another wave, another circuit board opened up in what he does in my life, right? You guys, you know, when I say that, I don't say that God just sends us on mission to do stuff that we're not created, we don't like doing. I'm just saying that the stuff that he is active in transforming lives, you know, only happens when we're vulnerable enough and we're bold enough to enter into somebody else's pain, somebody else's situation, somebody else's story. And then when we'll do that, the Holy Spirit's power is resident, it's available, and that's where the miracles happen, right? How many of you guys realize we don't see miracles in church the way that we see them in the scriptures very often? A couple of reasons, I think, for that. If you care, this is just, you know, not scripture, this is just your pastor talking because it's the second service and I can. One is that I think that in our culture, we become learners here, but not learners through our lives. And so the more scripture we memorize without activating it into our actual lives, the more there is that feeling of a lack of power. Does that make sense to you guys? And I think there's also the issue that the longer there is between when I learn something and I start to try to put it into practice, again, we don't get it right the first time, the second time, for 20 years. But hopefully there are these gradient levels of us getting it right more often, more frequently, and with more of what God says his power looks like in our lives, right? But that's kind of what we're talking about here today. And here's the last we're going to land on this, because we just talked about the Holy Spirit that has his own desires and will. It says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. For those of you that are following along and taking notes, basically says that it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gifts each person should have. See, that's good for me because I want to have all the gifts, man. I mean, I want to be that pastor that walks through and it's just like, word of knowledge, pew, right? Word of prophecy, pew, healing, pew, right? But he says, no, Chad, you can't be God. I get to be God. And the rest of the body distributes the gifts as I direct them to see more of my ministry carried out, okay? So we see the promise there are gifts. We're going to talk about those in just one moment. And the seventh thing that Francis talks about is simply this, that the Holy Spirit is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient in our lives, okay? For those of you that, you know, are theologians, you're like, amen, right? For the rest of us, it just simply means that he's all-powerful, he's present everywhere, and he's all-knowing. And so that's the kind of power, that's who we roll with. And so, you know, it's him that makes those decisions. He's the one that distributes the gifts as he sees fit. We've talked a little bit about my fourth point, and that's just that the Holy Spirit's personal, right? That he's personal, that we should know him. Romans 8, 14 through 16 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as your own children, or as his own children. Now that we call him Abba, Father, for the Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. It's good today, huh? 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells amongst you, or that lives in you, right? So we know that the Holy Spirit's a promise, right? It's not just Pastor Chad making this stuff up. We saw it in the scripture. Number two, that it's providential. It has a purpose in our lives and that God distributes it as he determines is correct, okay? Three, the Holy Spirit's a person. It's a person. And so we have to cultivate that relationship knowing that he wants to hang with us, right? Four, that the Holy Spirit is personal. And five, here's what we're going to land on right now, is the Holy Spirit's practical. How many of you guys are practical like me? If I can't put it to use, I don't want to even know it, to be honest with you. I got so little RAM left up in here, right? That I just need things that are practical. I need to know, Lord, how do I access it? What do I do with it? And where do we invest these things, okay? So the role of the Holy Spirit, we have to understand. We don't have to explain how it happens, but we have to know that it's the power for Christian living, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, New Living Translation says, no one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so that we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given to us, right? So again, that's what he's saying. You should know what these are because I'm with you and I've made this possible for you. So two key practical areas of the Christian life. Everybody say fruits and gifts. Fruits and gifts, okay? That's where we see the practical outpouring of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. I just read to you, didn't I? I did. You guys want to read it again? It's good. No, we'll keep moving. So Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. That's what we want to talk about. And I can tell you that before I read this, most of you could read it to me. Most of you could quote it to me without reading off of my notes here. And yet today as we sit here together, my encouragement, my exhortation, my hope is that we aren't a people that are okay just knowing stuff about God. We want to know Him and experience the fruit and the power of His Holy Spirit in our lives. That's my hope. So as we read this, don't just go, the fruit of the Spirit is blah, 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 blah. It's, Lord, where is that fruit part of me? Lord, where is that active? How can I grow in that? What are you doing in that area of my life, okay? So, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. He produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Papaya. Apples, oranges, no, not that kind of fruit. Spiritual fruit, right? He produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Oh, Lord, give me some gentleness. And self-control, right? There's no law against these things. So when we're looking for the power of God, let's not look for look for those things, right? And when we see that, let's celebrate that God's doing it in our lives. Let's see that man, all of a sudden I've got more capacity to love that person that's pretty unlovable, really. Hey, I know you guys all have a pastor. I get it. I understand, right? It's hard to love some folks. Some of us are just harder to love than others, right? But the Holy Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So as we gauge where we're at today in our own spiritual tanks, our own spiritual power vacuum, how are we doing in those areas, church? The second one is gifts. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. These are the two primary ways that God pours out His Spirit in our lives as followers of Him. Anybody smell this pizza yet? I am. I'm going to have somebody else hold it because it's making me hungry, right? So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So again, I don't get the gifts for myself. I get them for other people. Okay, to one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues, okay? So again, those are the ways that God makes His way through our lives. And the sixth and final point that we're making is the worship team comes forward and we prepare to respond to the Word of God today, is this, that the Holy Spirit is purposeful. He's purposeful. He's on task. He knows what He's doing in our lives. We can trust Him in that. He's on purpose for His eternal mission. And if we were sitting here today and we're saying, what then should be more a part of our lives besides the fruit and the Spirit, or the fruit and the gifts? Here's just a few that I'm going to rattle off before we close with some worship and some ministry time. One, the Spirit helps us to speak when we're in precarious or difficult situations and we need to bear witness, right? You guys ever get in those conversations? We're just like, uh-oh! Yeah, like standing on a stage somewhere with this thing strapped on you. Yeah, exactly. I need the power of the Holy Spirit to talk about what He does. Because I can honestly tell you guys, you know, I've never wanted to be here. Never wanted to be on the stage. Never been an extrovert. And I know that God's put that on my life and that's what I'm supposed to do. Second thing, the counselor teaches and reminds us what we need to know and remember, right? He's our comforter, our advisor, our encourager, and our strength. He guides us in the way that we should go. Another reason that we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, from the Spirit we receive power to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. We talked about that, right? The Holy Spirit not only initially draws people to God, He also draws believers closer to Jesus. Isn't that a good promise today? Because sometimes I know, because I'm in church as much as you guys are, that we can talk about this stuff so much that we're like, yeah, I already did it, been there, done that, sealed the deal. Move along, Pastor. Hey, daily I can drift. And daily he brings me back to himself. Isn't that good? That's what the Holy Spirit does. Power of the Holy Spirit puts together the misdeeds of our body. Spirit sets us free from sins that we can't get rid of on our own. Man, that's good. This is a lifelong process that we call sanctification in the church that we entered into when we accepted Jesus and in partnership with the Spirit when we first believed, right? That he's still redeeming us. He's still pouring out his character in us. And finally, through the Spirit, we have received a spirit of adoption as children, which leads us into intimacy with the Father instead of a relationship based on fear and slavery. The Spirit bears witness that we are his children. How many of you guys know today that you are God's children? Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit at work in us. That we can say, as I have these conversations with others, they're like, what's going to happen when you die? I don't know. I don't know either, but do I know who my Father is? Absolutely. Has he given me his Spirit as a promise and as kind of that marking on our lives? So the question today is, how do we receive it? How do we continue to come back to the gas station of the Holy Spirit? Acts 2:4 says one way. It says, everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit had given them this ability, right? Yeah, again, that's not my words. That's the Bible's words. But in that, it just says that the Holy Spirit kind of did what he did, right? How many of you guys today are feeling more full of the Holy Spirit because we were in his word and we worshiped, and that's what he does. He's doing it in our midst even without us being aware of it. Acts 8:17 says, then Peter and John laid their hands on these believers and they received the Holy Spirit. So again, that was a different way, right? Sometimes it's a general prayer. Sometimes we just need to come forward and say, hey, listen, elders of the church, we want you to lay hands, agree with us in prayer that God wants to do this work, that he would fill me with his fullness today. How many of you guys, like me, would like to say, I want to be filled, not spilled, with the Holy Spirit today, right? It should be natural, it should be good, it should be something we look forward to in church, right? That we leave this place different than we entered it. More encouraged, more of those spirits, right? And so that kind of brings me to my pizza. I'm on a very strict diet now, you know. I use this illustration because a pastor that I respect and have had the privilege of spending some time with, Jensen Franklin, used a pizza box as an illustration not too long ago. And, you know, usually I don't, you know, use what somebody else has used, and I didn't because I'm going to do it my way, right? And he's going to reinforce my message today. But he basically just made the case that basically said, hey, you know, we all love pizza, right? But sometimes we can become so preoccupied with the packaging that we forget what's inside of it, right? I've been sitting here for a long time with a perfectly hot, yummy pizza sitting right here. And he said, and basically his point was that this box is only worth, you know, 39 cents, 32 cents, something like that. But it's when it's opened up, and he only did the box, but I actually added the pizza. That's when the aroma of Christ comes out of our lives. And we open it up. And not just when we open it up, but we begin to share it with others. Anybody want a slice of pizza today? Huh? Oh, look at that. Youth pastors, first one to jump. Let's give it up for Elijah. Let's give it up for Elijah. So again, in between bites of your pizza today. Hey, every time we order a pizza, let's remember, it is a reminder that it's not about the box. It's not about the packaging. It's about what lives inside of us. And what lives inside of us is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. So let's live that way, shall we? Today, I'm asking you to worship and as a response to what God's doing in our lives and hearts, because I know he's doing a lot in our lives. I just want you to ask him that. Lord, where's an area that you want to speak to? Or where's an area that I can be more full of your Spirit, okay? Then we're going to do just a little bit of ministry time, and I'm going to dismiss you guys to go get your own pizzas, all right? I'm going to close this in prayer here in just a moment. I'd like to ask our prayer team to come forward. Again, this is where church gets a little weird for people because they don't know what's going to happen or what we're supposed to do. How many of you guys know with me that the Holy Spirit's present in this place? That He's already doing so much in our lives and hearts. But if you would like prayer for the first time to ever say, I would like to experience the Holy Spirit. I'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'd like the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand? I promise I'm not to ever embarrass you. I see you, ma'am. Good. Yes, I see you, sir. God bless you. Great decision. Anybody else for the very first time want to say, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit today? I know we got a lot of us in here that are saying, I want to be filled all over again today. I feel like I'm being filled all over again today, right? But we always want to make sure that we give people a first-time opportunity to walk into something that maybe you haven't had before. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Chad, the things you've been talking about what the Holy Spirit does and who He is in my life, I feel like I've been kind of running around town with a quarter tank or an eighth of a tank, and today I want to be filled to the full of His Holy Spirit. That's you here today. Would you just raise your hand? Just want to see who we're connecting with today. I see you. Yes, I see you. Yeah, whole bunch of us. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for that. So maybe you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Chad, I don't know that I have the right to this kind of power that you're talking about because I haven't yet asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of my life. Can I tell you it's just that easy? That He died on a cross to pay for your sin and my sin so that we could live lives full of His Holy Spirit power. If you're here today and you want to say, Jesus, I want to make You Lord and Savior of my life. I believe You died on the cross for my sin and that You rose from the dead 3 days later so that You could send Your Holy Spirit to live in me. If that's you here today, would you just raise your hand? Would you be courageous enough to say, yes, I believe that God is doing something in my heart and in my life today that's different than anything I've experienced before. Is there anybody today? It's a little dark. Yeah, I see you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you, young man. Awesome decision. Best decision you can make in your entire life. Promise you that. Promise you that. That's good. Anybody else today? I don't want to miss you. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm going to pray a corporate prayer alongside all of you. As we do as part of our the way we get down here at church, where we, again, remind ourselves of what's true about us because of what Jesus did for us, right? And then I'm just going to release you guys. I know we're running a little bit late. Your pastor's having too much fun. I apologize for that. But don't run out of here to whatever you need to do if you would like somebody to pray with you. We have people available who would love to just partner in prayer and make sure you leave this place as full of the Holy Spirit as you possibly can, okay? So let's go ahead and pray this prayer and we'll close. Lord Jesus, I invite You into my life. I believe that You died on a cross for my sin and that You rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to You the right to direct my life from this day forward. Let me hear you. I dedicate myself to learning the Scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following You in water baptism, in Jesus' name we pray and we trust. Amen, amen, amen. Thank You, Lord. Can we give Him appreciation for what He's doing in our lives? Yeah. Let me pray and you can be dismissed. Father, we bless You. We thank You that we do not walk this walk alone, Lord, that it's You, the power of the living God that lives in and through us, and that You are not just a providential promise in our lives, but You are a person who wants to know us personally and pour out Your power throughout our lives. Thank You, Lord, that You are practical in the gifts and in the fruit of our lives. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would be resident and effective in our day-to-day life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.